The oversimplification of issues is created by political correctness. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRubo.
Last time we ended our discussion with the example of how a woman is believed to be able to have control over her body, even if that means having control or victimizing the unborn child within her. And for that to happen, she doesn't even need to obtain her partner's permission, as we mentioned. Why? Because the woman, women in general, it's a group or category that are seen as victims. But consider the fact that a married man who opts for a vasectomy can't obtain one unless he gains written consent from his wife. Now, on one hand, society says that a woman has complete and final control over her body even when she's carrying another human being. On the other hand, a man who simply wants to become clinically sterile so that he can't father another child can't do so without the permission of his wife. There is not only a double standard, but it is clear that because of the way political correctness works, this situation exists, and it's just one of many. I'm Dr. Fred. Thank you so much for joining me in today's broadcast. And we've discussed the fact that the oversimplification of issues by those within the arena of political correctness, it causes them to divide everyone into two categories. And, of course, I mentioned this last time. You're either the victim or you are the oppressor, the aggressor. The victim is seen as right, therefore supported, while the oppressor is understood to be wrong and consequently vilified and opposed. It's really as basic and as simplistic as that. A person is determined to be a victim if he or she is up against someone or something that appears to be stronger, and that person is part of a group that is seen to be opposed. Strength represents aggression, regardless of whether or not it is that. It is seen as lording it over others and creating victims because of it. All quote-unquote good people, then, must fight against the aggressor. Those who defend against the aggressor, excuse me, those who defend aggressors become just as vilified as the aggressors are. For instance, the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, can publicly announce that declaring a fetus a human being is a, what she called, an extremist position. And women's groups and supporters will agree with her. Now, she's referring to the decision or the amendment that came into being in North Dakota called the Personhood Amendment. Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, goes on to say, quote, "These politicians don't care about women or whether these matters are on the minds of the American people," unquote. Well, this is exactly how politically correct individuals see issues in life and how they react to them. The absurdity of her words makes a political subterfuge. Richards and others like her must always bring it back to a focus on women and women's rights and do everything in their power to eradicate the fact that women who have abortions are carrying a human life within them. The focus cannot be on the unborn human being, but on women's quote-unquote health issues or women as victims, and it should stay there. Richards' claim that politicians don't care about women is asinine because she also denies that a fetus is a human being. When does it become a human being then? When the mother decides she wants to keep it? 2 weeks before it's born? A moment after it's born? When? As the representative for Planned Parenthood, she can't claim that the unborn child is a human being, because if she does, she immediately becomes a hypocrite and guilty of supporting murder. She has to deny that a fetus, an unborn child, is a human being, so that those who attack Planned Parenthood then are seen as solely attacking women. Now, for the politically correct minions in this world, including Planned Parenthood, a woman carries an unborn baby to term and delivers a baby. At that point, after the birth, it magically becomes a human being. A woman who is pregnant with an unborn baby but opts to abort even as late as the third trimester through the partial birth abortion method kills something that is never seen as a human being. This is how political correctness works. And it has even gone farther in recent months to argue that if a child survives a partial birth abortion attempt, it's still not a human being. Because the mother didn't want it, apparently, and wanted to abort it. Never mind that it's surviving. Now, remember, Richards must emphasize that women are the victims here. And she has to do that by focusing on the women themselves, their health issues or their victimhood or whatever. She does this by making sweeping generalizations that politicians don't care about women or their health issues. It's an untenable position. It can be easily disproven, but it is done and said so that she forces the focal point of the discussion to remain on women as victims without using the term. And this focus disregards the fact that an unborn child is in the mix. The people at Planned Parenthood can never waver from this position at all. And that's why a person who, for instance, shoots a pregnant woman during a robbery or carjacking is often charged with two murders if both the mother and the unborn child die. The accepted assumption is that the mother had every intention of carrying the unborn child a full term and giving birth. In that case, the law sees the perpetrator as being a murderer of the unborn child as well as the mother. However, if the same woman had gone into an abortion clinic and paid to literally have the child murdered, this action is completely acceptable by law because the woman made the decision to kill the unborn child. And in that case, abortion is not seen as murder. There, the unborn child is never recognized as a human being. What stupidity. Now, in both cases, the murder of an unborn baby occurred. Yet because one method, abortion, is politically correct and socially acceptable, it is not considered murder. It's considered a legal choice by the mother, and the doctor is merely paid to perform a quote-unquote health service that removes fetal tissue from the womb, regardless of the age or development of that fetal tissue. You know, those who claim to be Christians and see life through the lens of political correctness really need to take stock in themselves and look seriously at how they make their decisions. In nearly all situations, these individuals base their decisions not on biblical truth, but on the ever-changing tapestry of societal relativism. If they would stop to consider the fact that they are actually aligning themselves with atheists, agnostics, and in general people who are in complete rebellion toward God and His absolute truth, they might realize the problem. God considers societal relativism or political correctness to be compromising with the world, regardless of how well-intentioned individuals may be who call themselves Christian. Far from standing on His truth, they are firmly in line with the world's relativism or virtue. So even if God says, "Thou shalt not kill," for instance, those who claim to be Christian yet use political correctness to define their position do so by setting God's immutable law aside, replacing it with human moral relativism. How is that Christian? We understand that when God issued His commands, He was speaking of premeditated murder, since He also made provision for those who accidentally killed someone or killed someone in self-defense. And you can read about that in Exodus 22 and Nehemiah 4. Now, in the case of abortion, those individuals claiming to be Christian choose to believe that women are victims. So their decision is made clear. It's to fight those whom they see as oppressing women, keeping them from having an abortion in this case. This is in spite of the fact that the quote-unquote oppressors they fight against are also fighting for the rights of thousands of unborn babies every day who were slaughtered in the abortion clinics. True innocents who have no one to speak for them and whose innocent blood is spilled, something that God abhors. And the scripture makes it very clear. Deuteronomy 19:10, Proverbs 6:17, 2 Kings 8:12, 15:16, Hosea 13:16, Amos 1:13, and there are others. To the politically correct person who calls themselves a Christian, their truth is clearly and only seen in who is the victim. Having arrived at that conclusion in spite of God's absolute truth, by the way, which judges not based on the victim-aggressor label, but on the act or character of a person, that the unborn child is not the victim, but the woman is. These individuals find ways to make God's word fit into their preconceived idea of truth. Now, in all issues that face society, it is imperative for those within the politically correct camp to determine victim and aggressor or oppressor. That's the starting point for them in determining their truth. For them, truth flows from that. Once this is accomplished, it is merely a matter of aggressively supporting the victim. And that's usually done by viscerally castigating those who are seen as standing against the victim. That's the oppressor. That's why, according to the politically correct, the Tea Party is evil. The Tea Party is seen as the oppressor because it supports capitalism as well as the Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, as the rule of law in America. Ultimately, the Tea Party believes in biblical values as outlined by our founders. But this stance, this position is anathema to the politically correct. This is one reason why people were and are so desperate to paint the Tea Party as racist and sexist, in spite of not one shred of evidence that proves the charges. And it's also why the Occupy movement, which left tons of garbage and destruction in its wake, is seen as comprising victims because it is opposed to corporate America or capitalism, which is the big oppressor. The Occupy movement, the perceived victim, is given a wide berth to do what it needs to do by the politically correct, including the media and among politicians. The Tea Party, the believed oppressor, is the enemy, they say, of freedom and equality, and should, in every respect, be verbally abused by the media and virtually everyone else. You know, another example of political correctness works is how it works is seen in a recent discussion that occurred on Al Sharpton's show. In it, he and two others focused on Mayor Bloomberg of New York City and his continued efforts to abrogate the Second Amendment. Right out of the chute, the race card was played. Anti-Semitism, because Bloomberg's Jewish ethnicity. Mike Barnicle said, let's get down to it. Mike Bloomberg, mayor of New York City. I mean, there's a level of anti-Semitism in this thing directed toward Bloomberg. Al Sharpton's response, no doubt about it. You know, it makes you wonder what these people are thinking. Barnicle said, I mean, it's out there. Another individual, Dan Sr., said this, I don't think it's anti-Semitism. I think it's the perception of big city urban elites, wealthy elites, telling the rest of the little people how to live their lives. Sharpton, but if he were not a big city Jewish man in some parts, I think it would be different. That's political correctness. See how easy it is? Well, that's our show for today. I thank you so much for joining me. And until we meet again, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.